This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on the Press Box, and we are alive and kicking and ready to roll, Nick and myself, for the next 3 hours as we take you through your afternoon and talk about all things that are positive. You had your 2 hours of negativity, and now it's time for us as we talk about all the positives. The streak is over! The light blue uniforms did their job! The dinosaurs fell! The Rockets rise! Yay, team! No?
I didn't watch a single second of the game, Joel, but I figured you actually would be excited that the Rockets got a dub.
I'm happy for Silent.
Are you?
For Silent. Yeah, I'm all right with that. Yeah. I think that I thought it was going to end this weekend, and everybody was holding me to that. That's fine. But when they got blown out by 13-plus from the Piston, and then I was talking to people around the team, too, going, there's no way that final play was drawn up for John Wall to shoot a 30-footer with Thunder. I was like, well, what's really concerning me now is that maybe the buy-in is too deep. Like, they're so bought in that they just have a whole lot of I don't care. And then last night they put it together and they put two halves together. I think that when you think about it, the house half-court shot and the John Wall, Sage Rosenfeld-esque helicopter 360 in the air, you kind of got the feeling, oh, it's their night. Everything's fallen for them. So the Raptors now have lost 9 in a row. Never saw that coming.
Yeah.
But that might be, much like the Rockets, that might be just a complete and utter tear-down rebuild coming for the Raptors, too.
Well, we played the audio clip for you in the last program with the Charlie Polillo show, and I'll play it this time because it seems like Silas is in a much, much better mood as compared to yesterday.
I'm just so happy for those guys that they don't have to hear about it and deal with it. And like I said at the beginning, just kind of trying to pick yourself up again to fight another day, pick yourself up again to fight another day and be disappointed day after day after day.
Look, regardless if the Rockets are tanking, Joel, and regardless of the fact that Silas understands that they're tanking, and I'm assuming that he knows what they're doing, getting a dub.
Isn't that a big assumption for you and everybody else? Because you would assume that if that's the case, he knew P.J. Tucker wasn't going to play a week ago, and he didn't.
I don't think they maybe outright said it, but you would assume that Silas is smart enough to understand that.
Sure.
That's my point, really.
Right.
You might be right. I tend to agree with you in the fact that maybe nobody from ownership or from the front office, meaning Tad Brown or your boy Rafael Stone.
It's Rafael.
Or Rosetta Stone.
Right.
Would have told them directly that that's their intentions, unless they trust them that much. So I can see. I tend to agree with you in that aspect that maybe they didn't relay that information, but he can't be that stupid. I mean, he can't be that stupid. He has to know what's going on.
So, Nick, therein lies again where there's the first breakdown that would be a concern of mine. There has to be a level of trust. This is why I always had a problem with, and I knew that the guys had a problem with, when Daryl would pick the majority of the assistant coaches when it started with McHale and then he did it going forward. Just like the team has to have that trust and that communication in the locker room. And if you got the one bad apple, you know it's gonna be hard for the team to succeed. In the coach's room, it was the same thing, and all the way up to the general manager. And so McHale and the guys didn't like it when Daryl sat in because they knew that Daryl could be thinking and talking a whole different language behind the scenes than what they were talking. And that's where I have a problem. If the general manager's not talking to the head coach and not including him in the overall plan, like you're talking about, it's not a game plan against who you're playing tomorrow night. It's about, look, guys, for this season, we need that draft pick, so we have to be cognizant of that. And there's a way of saying it without saying it. Hey, we need that pick. So
okay, saying it without saying it is one thing, but to be honest, can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
Once you loop him in that piece of information, being Silas,
right?
Now he knows. Now he has dirt on you.
That's why you don't say it.
And that's the game. We all know that game. You know what I mean? So once he knows that piece of information, Now you have to wonder, in the event that you ever upset him, or if he just felt like he's being used as a scapegoat, or he didn't get a fair opportunity, Silas is more probably, you know, more probably than not going to speak about that piece of information.
So here's where, that's where the breakdown begins, Nick. If I'm the head coach, okay, and I know I'm going to hire 5 assistant coaches. If I hire all 5, then it's on me if one of them becomes the mole, right? Or I have to worry about the fact that if I make a statement behind closed doors with the general manager in the room and say, hey, look, fellas, we're tanking, okay? We're going to play our asses off for 3 quarters, but in the 4th quarter, we're going to find a way to lose because we're not going to lose that pick. It means too much to us, and we got to have it. If someone leaks that out, then you know that's on you. You hired the wrong people. But you create the atmosphere where it could happen. And I know on certain staffs that I worked with that there was at least one mole on the staff because Daryl hired the majority of the assistants. The head coach was allowed to hire one. Like, for instance, Mikhail hired JB Bickerstaff. That was the one guy he was allowed to bring in with him. Kelvin Sampson was the leading candidate along with Mikhail. So in a nutshell, it's like Mikhail's competition suddenly becomes one of his top assistant coaches, and he's in charge of the defense. How do you trust that guy in a room? Kelvin's a great guy, as we all know. But if Mikhail doesn't trust and have a relationship with Kelvin, and he goes into the room every day, how does he not know that if I make a statement, we're tanking? If Kelvin doesn't run to the GM or run to the media and say, hey, you know, Mikhail said this.
Yeah, and it's just such a dicey situation, especially when you're viewed as an honest guy, right? Like, I would imagine guys like Silas, I mean, yeah, he's never been a head coach, so I guess he's not been in the limelight as other coaches, but he's viewed as a super transparent, honest guy, am I right? I mean, that's the reputation that precedes someone like Silas. So it's such a dicey, and you know what? I wouldn't even know how to approach that situation. It's just so hard when you know you're, you know, both doing something dirty or illegal or wrong or against the rules or whatever you want to say, how it doesn't come out in the event that that relationship doesn't sour. So it takes a lot of work. I'm not saying it's impossible. You obviously have a lot of experience in it, but yeah. I just think that's super interesting. I didn't think we were going to talk sports right off the top, because honestly, when we were talking on the air yesterday about your back issue, and honestly, I don't remember how we got on the discussion of your back, but we eventually started talking about the back issues that you had back in the day.
To be honest with you, I don't know how we
How did we get to that discussion?
Something happened sports-wise or otherwise where we ended up getting to the point of the discussion. But you want to talk about mind blown. I had mentioned and sang the praises of my doctor, Dr. Uday Doctor, who was my back doctor, who literally changed my life by being able to allow me to do things athletically and sports-wise and just everyday things again. And as part of the discussion, Nick, and I guess call us naive as part of it for not figuring it out, we even had the conversation within the conversation because we had mentioned somehow.
We're talking about massages. That's what we were. That's someone did the jet on.
Oh, right.
We were talking about deep tissue massages and the Deshaun Watson situation. That led to the discussion about your back and the back issues that you had.
Because I tried the deep tissue and then I ended up having to have the operation. Right.
Correct.
So we mentioned Doctor. I sang his praises. Then somehow along the way too, on a totally different topic, we mentioned our intern, Dr. Will, or Will Doctor.
Will Doctor.
And I always thought, from happy hour and otherwise, that you guys, AJ and those guys, gave him a nickname.
Gave him that name.
Maybe he came up with a remedy for something that he thought he was a doctor, and they called him. I didn't put 2 and 2 together. Last night, I got the girls playing in the room, their room. I'm watching the basketball game. Lisa's doing something. And all of a sudden, I just went, oh, my God. And she's like, you okay? And I go, you're not going to believe this. I just got a direct message from my man, Will Doctor. And it starts out, Joel, I just want to thank you for all the kind words and everything you said about my dad today. And he went on. It was a paragraph. And I was like, your dad today? What? And I went, time out. Your dad is Dr. Doctor? He's like, yeah. He was a huge fan of the show. He remembered you. He said, but he told me I could never ask you about it because with HIPAA laws and everything, he was afraid that I might be offended because I was his patient and all this other stuff. I was like, come on, Will. You know me better than that. You could ask me anything. I was like, I absolutely, you talk about a small world. I cannot believe that was your dad.
So his to get his name correct, Dr. Uday Doctor. Uday Doctor, the late Dr. Uday Doctor.
Right.
I even said, I was like, you know, we have an intern by the name of Will Doctor. And you're like, is that his real name? And I'm like, yeah.
That's
and
right.
It still didn't click. It still didn't click to me that it was his son. So
take it a step further then.
Oh, yeah?
Because he said he was a fan of the show. And so we talked about it. He was telling me about it, everything. And I was connecting some of the dots. And I go, wait a minute. So he said he would have loved to have caught up with me. But Will, he said, you can't bring it up because of HIPAA laws. I was like, well, Will, you said he listened to the show, right? And he goes, Joel, in the operating room every day, he was listening to you guys. And I was just so taken aback by that. I was like, I texted you immediately. I go, Nick, you're not going to effing believe this.
Yeah. And it totally made sense right when you texted me. I'm like, that totally makes sense. Not very many people have a real last name, but, you know, that's Doctor. It totally made sense. So shout out to Will Doctor. And more.
He's
and,
here today. So yeah, we're catching up before the show.
And most importantly, shout out to the late Dr. Uday Doctor.
Correct.
Rest in peace. Unbelievable story. Would have never guessed. But yeah, when you sent me that text, I was in shock for like 5 or 10 minutes.
I was like, too. At least like, are you okay? Guessed. And I go, I just never saw that coming. And I guess I should have put some of the pieces together. But what a small world.
Yeah. And you were so genuine, because I remember when you were talking about, like, this guy really did fix Joel's back, because he's so genuine. It's like, he changed my life. And we talked about how back pain can really, like, change the quality of your life.
Yeah.
And it can just make you miserable. And I'm sure at times you were. So shout out to Dr. Doctor, man.
And I told Will that. I said, be very clear. Your dad changed my life. And he was a really good dude, but he was a great doctor, too. So lot to be proud
Small
of
Small world.
Yeah.
Good to have you. Good to have him on the intern staff. So
and if you haven't caught him, he's filled in with Granato on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and stuff.
Oh, cool.
He knows his stuff. He's great with golf. He's great. He's a great follow on Twitter, but he's going places. And so we appreciate the fact that he's here on the staff, too, helping us out. So very, very cool stuff. All right, so we got a little Rockets out of the way. There were some college games last night.
Unfortunately, we'll talk about
none of
that.
Them were very close.
Well, I guess we'll have to. It's like it's getting to the point where the Deshaun Watson stuff, we have to talk about it a little bit, but
the numbers keep going up.
It's scary, dude. It's super scary.
And I thought we broke it down adequately enough from all the different angles yesterday,
yeah,
but we can talk about some of it going forward. But if you guys want to join the program, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call and text that line. You can also hit us up on Twitch and Twitter on Twitter at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, as we are very interactive throughout the show. And before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Look, I've signed up about 5 years ago. I've re-upped with them several times. Lots of the listeners have hit me up over the last 5 years and said, what was that energy company you speak for? Then they get hooked up, and then the next thing you do, they're tweeting, texting, and calling us and saying, lowest energy bills I've ever gotten. And they can do the same thing for you. They are enthusiastic about helping people in Houston get great energy deals. They got the best ratings in the business, 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. And they don't give you an automated system when you call. They talk to you one-on-one. They ask you tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they can figure out the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. Most times that's better than anybody else. Sometimes that they'll even be honest enough to tell you there's competition out there. They can beat our prices. Here's who it is. You may not go with them every time, but you may come back to them multiple times because you knew that they were good enough to be honest with you. You can check them out at infuseenergy.com, but better yet, I encourage you to call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5, $25 off your first bill, and they go from there. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the box. We keep it rolling, having a good old time for 3 hours a day. Nick and myself going to do some things here. We get back in our normal slot. We get back to our comfort zone. Nick and I were talking about it last night. We're going to get you guys fired up sometimes. We're always going to have fun. We're always going to keep it above board to where we might go below board with the topic sometimes. But we'll keep it above board, and it's just a discussion.
And I have so many good ideas that I want to try with the show, and I want people to give us their honest feedback. And a lot of us have followers, and we have listeners and chatters on the Twitch that are pretty honest about it, and I'm open to all of that because I want to have fun on this program, and I want to try some things, and I want to make it different, and I want to make it unique. And
plus, we value the feedback of those that we really have built a relationship with,
absolutely.
Particularly the Twitchers and the people we really know by name. So we're gonna it's gonna be a good time, and we're looking forward to it. And I think that's why we've got some more energy, and we're fired up about the process. I did want to mention, because I did put it out there on Twitter and on Instagram, but I got my first vaccine shot today.
All right.
It was very unexpected. Lisa was like adamant that we both need to get our shots. So she was like registering us all over the place. And all of a sudden I got an email. It was crazy. I got an email Monday morning and a text message. And it said, you have been selected. And I'm like, okay, this is, and it wasn't one of the hospitals. It wasn't like one of the Fort Bend at the Smart Financial.
Okay.
And I'm going, so I'm skeptical, right? And then I open the actual email and it says you have 24 hours to respond and you have to respond quickly and pick a time slot. Otherwise, they're filling up fast. And I was like, oh, this might be legit. So then I looked at when I was scheduled to go because it said next week. No, it was tomorrow. It was the next day.
So and I'm this like, was today. You got it today.
So yeah. So Monday morning and I'm looking at Lisa at the kitchen table and I go, babe, I'm not doing this tomorrow. And she goes, yeah, you are. And I go, no, I'm not. It says it's supposed to be next week. She goes, no, you're going to tomorrow. I go, I've heard from people. You got to prepare for this thing. You got to take vitamin C. You got to do all these things. She goes, nope, we both got to get them. You got to go. So we filled it all out and we rolled up there and I waited. There was like 25 people in line and it went pretty fast. And it was like, I didn't even feel the needle. Boom, 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 out. They make you sit for 15 minutes.
That was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, in case there was side effects. And I'm like, I'm good to go. I'm ready to roll.
So do you feel, well, how do
arm
you feel?
Arm doesn't even hurt right now.
And when I did you get it? Like what time did you get it?
So I got it at exactly 10:26 because you have to time it out. 15 minutes after that is when I was
able to leave. Almost 3 hours ago.
Yep. And I heard the second one is a lot worse.
Yes. That's what I was told. My mom told me the same
AJ
thing.
AJ said that. One of our interns, I guess, got her second shot today and said that. But in talking about that, I've also...
Now did you get the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson?
I got the Pfizer.
Okay.
So I got to go back in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And so one of my buddies I play basketball with is a real good friend of mine, and he works in the medical profession. So I called him, and I said, hey, man, I was like, I don't expect you to be spot on this, but I have to ask you, I've got questions. Now, because Dr. O and the Apollo Men's Health people told me I did the antibody test, I have the antibodies. And they told me I had it 8 months ago. And I said, well, I never had a symptom. And they said, well, O negative blood has a tendency to reduce to almost asymptomatically handle the symptoms. I didn't know that. So now my question becomes, if I still have the antibodies, which I do, Will it help to prevent me from having these side effects after the second shot? Because for those that haven't had it yet, it's actually getting your body and your immune system to react to the actual virus. So that's why you get the symptoms. If I've already had it and I have the blood type that's supposed to basically make it asymptomatic, will I have the symptoms? It's just a question.
I don't know. I mean, I've always been hesitant, but it's getting to the point where I feel like more and more people my age or closer to my age is starting to get the vaccine. So if I put myself on a list, I'll eventually get it, obviously.
They announced right after we got home, they announced that all adults are eligible
to
starting
get
Monday.
Okay.
In the city of Houston. So
I'll probably get it eventually.
You're eligible to sign up.
All right. Now, let me run this tweet by you
because
we did talk a little bit about the Rockets in the first segment. And we did talk about intern Will Doctor as well, but we did kind of open with the Rockets first.
Yep.
And Woj, right before the show, about 42 minutes ago, he tweeted this out. Wanted your thoughts. ESPN sources, he and Knicks with summer camp space are reluctant to offer premium packages for Victor Oladipo, but markets developed of capped out teams bidding with young player / first round pick combos. One thing's become clear, Houston's likely moving Oladipo before the deadline. What say you?
I definitely think that that's the plan. But I'll say that by saying this. One, there's no way that Rafael Stone can keep shooting for the moon and thinking that you're going to get a package of like Nunn and or Robinson or Tyler Hero from the Heat, because it's all right to have an asking price. But here's the kicker. Because he's expiring, teams aren't not as likely to offer up as much as they would otherwise if they knew they had player control of the player for several years.
Right.
Unless, as part of the deal, he's going to a team where he wants to go and an extension is worked into the mix. Now, if that's the case, then there's the possibility you get more. But now the Knicks, the Heat, we've heard the Warriors, possibly the Lakers with LeBron out needing some scoring punch. When you get multiple teams involved, now you can push the price up. And I think he's definitely going to go. But the other thing to keep an eye on, if they can't get what they want, Tillman's not going to pay guys that aren't worth it with multiple years left on their contract. He'll take expiring contracts back as long as it also includes draft picks or young players. But otherwise, if you're just going to lose them for nothing, all that money comes off the books at the end of the year. You're better off letting him walk unless you get a package in return that you really want. Not just that you have to take. It's what you really want.
Yeah, and I think there is a certain number that Tillman is willing to pay in terms of a contract, as long as it kind of lines up with the John Wall contract, right? Because you know he's not going anywhere. And then he has the player option in that last year, I think, for $47 million. So if something, I guess, is not incredibly big in terms of an annual salary, Joel, is it he probably okay with someone? Like, I guess that's why they offered him the two-year deal that he rejected to begin with, because, yeah, it may be too much. Maybe you don't think he's worth it, but it does kind of line up with the John Wall contract to the point where when they kind of both expire about the same time, you almost hit the reset button there in that regard. So maybe there's certain players that he's willing to kind of pay some money for, but you're right. I don't think he's willing to pay and be tied to a situation where the player has control and there's many years left with a big, big annual salary. I don't know what you're going to get for someone like Victor Oladipo, but I think that was a negotiating ploy by the Heat, obviously, saying, hey, yeah, we want someone like him, but don't think we're going to give you an arm and a leg for him either.
Yeah, and I think that the other kicker in all of this, Nick, is that the thing that worries me is that it seems to be an undercurrent in all these rumor mills that they're not ready to admit that they're pressing the reset button, much like they wanted you to believe they were still fighting for a championship while they were in the midst of starting and finally wrapping up a 20-game losing streak.
Right.
The fact that the rumors are out there that they want to trade for a guy like Aaron Gordon because they're not ready to admit they're in a full-blown rebuild, and they believe that Aaron Gordon, alongside John Wall and Christian Wood and others, are going to be good enough to at least make the playoffs. Look, they said the exact same thing when they got Oladipo, and now they realize bad fit, didn't want to be here in the first place, is not going to be here next year no matter what. He already turned down one extension at 25 a year for two more. So you've got to at least be willing to admit, hey, we are doing this for the rebuild. We are doing this for the future. Stop. Because I don't understand the whole Aaron Gordon thinking anyway. Do you think a front line makes sense of Aaron Gordon and Christian Wood on the same front line? Because I think they're the same player.
Is it the price? Is it the did like the way the numbers
You're right on? That the price makes it attractive because it keeps going down.
Yeah.
But one's got to play the five. One's got to play the four. In my mind, Gordon, because of his physical stature, is more of the five than Wood. Silas talks like Wood is his five, and I don't think either one of them is a center.
Well, Silas might have a particular goal with Wood being his five, but I think he is also willing to adjust his thinking in the event he can find another guy that can play the solid five and then put Wood at the four. I don't think he's completely against that. I don't think he's against putting Wood at the four. I think maybe as the roster sits right now, that's what he's saying. Right? I mean, isn't that fair to assume?
He keeps pushing the fact that Wood is a five. And you know what? He weighs .225 wet.
Yeah, he's not very big.
He's not strong enough to defend at the five. He's a great shot blocker, and he can rebound. But he can get moved around, and that's why, for that reason alone, I don't think he's a five. He's a good stretch four.
Sure, yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I'm with you. He's not big enough to be a solid five, and he's not strong enough, too. That's going to become an issue when he goes up against guys that, you know, do well with just having a presence inside the paint, you know? Who would have been a good, like a Griffin in his prime, you know what I mean? Back when he was with the Clippers or something like that. That size is something you have to deal with, and it impacts it. We talked about Clint Capella and how much better of a player he would be if he just was a little bit thicker and he was a little bit stronger. He'd be a completely different player, at least in my mind, and I know I'm the Capella fan here on the fourth floor, but I just really believe that. If you have a Capella that can move about that same like about as fast as he did, but he was bigger.
Yeah,
it'd be a completely different dynamic with Clint Capela.
I got one for you too. Think about this, and then I want your response after the break. I saw our good friend Kobos Q Raul last night tweeted, Christian Wood is what they expected and wanted Clint Capela to be. Don't comment on it now. Agree or disagree. Think about that. We'll come back after the break. We've got calls lining up. We've got things going on. We love you guys being a part of it. It's not the post-game show anymore. It's the new and improved Press Box. And we're here for you all the way up until 4 o'clock. It is right here on ESPN.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Since they're not in the tournament anymore, Nick, and you're playing this song, as I know it is the Hova, it's Jay-Z, and it's when the Rockets used to win, I used to always have to play Jay-Z in the postgame show because when the Hova's in the house, then the Rockets got the W.
You played this song particularly?
I played all kinds. I played everything from 99 Problems, from Black Album.
Just Jay-Z in general.
Oh my God, I had all of them. I'm a fan. But here's the question. Song is It's a Hard Knock Life. Okay? Illinois not in the tournament anymore. Otherwise, I should have brought this up because they lost before it was really like on a show day. Did you notice that the center for Illinois, who I'll spell his last name, Nick, it's C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N. Might be something you've had some experience with.
Negative.
I don't know.
Not true.
But the announcers pronounce it Coburn. And most of the game, much like not wanting to say Adetokounmpo, they just called him Kofi, his first name.
I kind of see why though, because is that really how you pronounce the name?
I don't know phonetic. I don't know because
there's
know,
only one way to pronounce
that name.
You get
the press release, you know, when you get the packet of notes when you're calling a game, they normally phonetically will tell you how to pronounce everybody's last name. But pretty much it's unmistakable to me that looks like it should be as it's spelled.
Now I could just put his name in there,
yes,
in the YouTube search and say interview, and then have the guy that's interviewing him, or the interviewer,
right,
say his name. But I have to make sure that I got the right one. That's what we could do. That's the game.
Because
play.
You're not offending anybody with the FCC because you're literally just playing a snippet
name.
Of an interview, right?
It's like the show that we were talking about, Schitt's Creek.
Yes, just imagine if you're Ian Eagle or Jim Nance or somebody else and you're calling the Illinois game and you say, ball goes over the half-court line to the left side inside to Cockburn, jams it to Cockburn, who throws it through the hole. Is he wrong?
All right, talking with Kofi Coburn here, and it's been, 6 months since I came to visit Coburn. You?
Now, I wonder if there was a disclaimer. Look, man, my kid has been going through a lot from elementary school to middle school to high school, and he's trying to become a basketball player. Can we not pronounce his name correctly? Could you call it Coburn instead of Cockburn? Do you think that happened, or do you think it's just spelt that way?
My first indication when reading it.
They call this an uncut interview with Illinois basketball freshman Kofi Coburn.
All right, talking with Kofi Coburn here, and it's been, 6 months since...
Wouldn't you also, if you are Mr. Kofi, wouldn't you correct him if he was wrong? Because I've been in numerous situations with players over the years, like Donatus Montiunas.
Yeah.
But people would hack that name up, and he would stop them every single time
to let them know. But honestly, Montiunas,
how you say it?
I know when people hear 3, 4, 5 syllables in the last name, they tend to get scared here. But Montiunas, let's be honest. Is it that freaking difficult to pronounce?
When you look at how it's spelled.
Yes, but when you say it, when you say it out
like
loud.
Like Kirkendall. It doesn't look like it should be Kirkendall.
Correct.
Right.
But when you say it, like if someone, hey, what's your name? Like if you're just listening, I feel like it has an
Wasn't
easy.
Wasn't there a movie called Rooster Cockburn?
I don't know.
I think there was.
There's a movie.
I'm not making this up, and it wasn't a porn movie. I think that there was an actual book or movie or both.
There's a rooster cockle-doodle-doo sound effect that
no,
I can
No, no, no.
Cogburn, the courtroom scene.
Okay.
Are you familiar? Did you watch this movie, or are you just bringing it up?
I did not watch the movie.
Apparently, it's from the 60s, 1969 in particular, so why would I know this?
Now, Dick on Twitch wants to make sure that we know that he is from Jamaica, which I knew, so it could be pronounced, but he doesn't elaborate. So it could be pronounced which way, Dick? With the CK or without? I'm just asking.
Well, AJ's telling us it is pronounced Coburn because it's Jamaican, and apparently that's how Jamaicans pronounce it. That's what, according to AJ Hoffman.
And he is our college basketball go-to expert, so therefore it's been settled. It's right, over.
So let's get to what you teased, because Kobo's Q, didn't you tease
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so Kobo's Q's tweeting last night, and because I always follow my guys, and he got some response, but he said Christian Wood is the guy that they always thought and wanted Clint Capela to be. I don't agree. And I'm not saying, here's the thing. If Clint Capela was a top 15, a lottery pick, top 14 pick, if Clint Capela was a guy that they drafted with expectations that right away he was going to eventually be groomed into playing, they wanted him to go, they wanted to stash him. They wanted to draft him because Daryl wanted the money on the books for somebody else. They wanted him to go to France or somewhere else for a couple years, stash him away, bring him back when they had a need and also more money. And he literally flew to Houston, stayed at the Toyota Center every day, and was not going to leave, to the point where they're like, well, he doesn't want to go back to France. He wants to try and make it. So do we put him in the G League? How do we balance this? And then they realized Akeem started working with him, and they realized. But Christian Wood, I don't think they ever expected Clint Capela to be an offensive player like Christian Wood. Christian Wood's a way better face-up shooter, and offensively, he's way more talented and gifted. Clint would give you a double-double, but it would be 10 points off of alley-oops and putbacks.
Correct.
If
he gave you 15, 16,
Wood's going to give you 20, and a couple of them are going to be threes.
Right. If Clint Capela gave you 17 points, that was like an amazing game for the Rockets, and that's not a knock on him. I think the reality was they knew the offensive production that they were going to get at Clint Capela, like you just mentioned. I think there was a slimmer of hope, like just a tiny bit of hope that maybe this Clint Capela guy develops and surprises us to the point where he is averaging 20 points a game, 25 a point. They didn't bank on it, but I think in the back of their mind, they were thinking maybe this guy's evolved. To a certain extent, I agree with Koboski because I always talked about how you guys, I shouldn't say you guys, but many people thought he was so overpaid and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, look, NBA money today, $16, $17, $18 million a year is really not that bad. And that's really what the bulk of his contract was. And if you really looked at it even more specifically, I can't remember the exact details, but a lot of them were like $1.5 million of it, I think, was incentives. It was like a certain defensive rating that he had to maintain. There was a free throw shooting percentage. And there was like some other particular statistic that he had for him to earn the remaining $1.5 million of his contract. So there was a lot of incentive because they wanted him to become that guy. He just never became that guy. Now, if he's going to be a guy that you depend on, or he has to depend on someone like a Chris Paul or, someone to feed him alley-oops like James Harden, Chris Paul, and others, I think that's going to hurt his case, but I still think he'll get paid. Once he's able, if he's able to create for himself, I think Clint Capela is going to be way more overpaid than you ever thought. I think Clint Capela...
But do you think they got what they was needed, supposed to be... What Wood is what they thought Capela was supposed to be? Because I never thought that Daryl drafted Capela with the thoughts that he was going to be a really, really multidimensional offensive player.
Right. And I agree with that 100%. I don't think they did. I think there was just a hope. That's why. But look, even the people that were saying that the contract was overpaid, it was a lot of it was incentives. He had to maintain a certain – the free throw shooting, we talked about it all the time. John Lucas before every game. He was working with him every single game. And to Capella's credit, this one thing you can't knock about Capella is his work ethic. I mean, the fact that he came to Toyota Center and what you talked, I didn't even know about this story until you brought it up to me. The fact that he came to Toyota Center and he basically didn't want to leave told me everything. But he didn't want to go back to France because that's where he was playing basketball, or Sweden.
No, they wanted him to go wherever, anywhere but the United States,
the NBA.
To keep playing. But yeah. No, the Rockets.
Yeah.
Once they drafted him, because that's the whole stash and dash philosophy when general managers draft players. If they want to make sure that they get the pick, but you know, and they think they can get a player that over time could be something, but they make sure they draft a European player, because then they don't have to come over immediately, and you can use that money then towards,
you can save money,
a free agent, and then you have his rights to bring him back at another time. Sergio Llull, or Luol, is a guy that in folklore of Rockets, he's a European point guard that everyone was just dying to come over. And then a year became two, became four, became six, became 10. And now they traded his rights away because he basically was more of a star over in Europe and said, I'm never coming over. But there were multiple times that they thought, hey, they need a point guard. Now is the time for Sergio Llull. And it never happened.
Well, look, I didn't expect us to talk about Clint Capella, but it was a good question posed by Kobosky. And I do. And look, at the end of the day, it's safe to say that Clint Capella didn't leave this team like screwing the Rockets over or breaking their bank. It was a fair deal. Like, they paid him, and he wasn't the best offensive player, but you got what you could out of him. And maybe, you know, he turns out to be this offensive player that we, you know, that he could eventually evolve into. But I guess that's enough for the Rockets, because people are absolutely sick. But congratulations. You got a win, Silas, so hopefully you're not that upset.
Congratulations now, to Mr. Coburn, yep, too, because he doesn't have to go through life thinking that he's got a medical condition.
He must have got the business when he was in
genitalia.
Elementary and middle. Dude, elementary and middle school years must have been absolutely terrible for Coburn.
Good thing Coburn didn't play for Oral Roberts. Woo!
So Deshaun
that
Watson.
Have been ugly.
Deshaun Watson, Sarah Barshop did like a little recap of all these little, this 13 civil lawsuits. I kind of want to talk about that. I don't know how long we're going to talk about.
We're at 14 now.
Yeah. She did the recap of the 13, and then right, later, they added like a 14th later.
Yep. All right, we got plenty of things to get to. Nick's got that on the agenda. Lots more of other things open for your discussion. Join us. Get something off your chest you've had on your mind. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, Twitch, and Twitter. We're here for you. It's PressBox ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Okay, so now we've set off this massive quest for the most inappropriate but real names in sports history. And obviously, I think number one all time is auto racing legend and Wisconsinite.
The great Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle. His son was the focus of the Tom Cruise movie, I think it was Days of Thunder, the auto racing
movie. I actually watched that movie. Tom Cruise was in that movie, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Tom Cruise, it was Cole Trickle.
Was it?
Played, it was just Dick's son.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Didn't know that. Or at least I wouldn't have remembered that. But Zach Grocock on Twitter.
That's his real last name, he said.
My family name is Grocock. My parents named me Earl Zachary Grocock. Ha, 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 ha.
Easy. Okay.
If you have
if you're self-deprecating. Like you said during
the
break.
And you want to make fun of yourself, 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. I'm interested in your name if you want to make fun of it. Zach Grocock was a good sport, and he told us about his name.
I think top three all-time in NFL history, Sam Gash, who was a Patriot. Jim Schwantz, who was a Cowboy. Harry Colin, who played for multiple teams, including the Detroit Lions. They're up there.
Rusty Kuntz, the legendary. Kuntz. Oh, is it Kuntz? Is it really?
It's Kuntz. It is now. I mean, it wasn't for
is
a second
really?
There. Yes.
I didn't know.
Yeah, well, evidently. But
when did he play? When did this baseball player play?
Yep. So we got that one.
No, say his name again.
No, you do it because you pretty much. Now here's the funniest one of all of them. Now it's a little bit before your time,
the '70s and eighties.
So 90s. Do you remember ever hearing about the game show Hollywood Squares? It was essentially tic-tac-toe, but in each of the squares of the tic-tac-toe board was a Hollywood celebrity. And then the contestants, where every right answer, you would get the square with either your X or an O, and you'd play tic-tac-toe. And the celebrities would play. So it was a long-standing game show.
Okay.
It was like Wheel of Fortune. All right? The host of the show was Peter Marshall. He was like the Pat Sajak. He hosted it forever.
Okay.
His son played first base for the Kansas City Royals. Went by the maiden name for the family, which was not Marshall. Pete LeCocq.
You're lying.
Swear to God, you can look it up.
Pete How LeCocq do you spell it?
Was the first baseman.
I got it.
For the Kansas City Royals.
L-A.
And he was Peter Marshall's son. Evidently, he was Pete LeCocq the second, because Peter Marshall's real name was, well, you guessed it.
Pete LeCocq Jr., born January 17, 1952.
Evidently not as big as his dad.
I see what you did there. See what you did there.
Sean's been holding.
And then
I'm not
he ended
even
up
sure
playing,
where he's going with this.
Ended up playing for a team called the Whales. What's up, Sean? What's up, Sean?
Sean wants to talk best coach-son duo. Sean, what's up?
What's going on, guys? First off, Joel, sorry about Wisconsin. We're going to go ahead and still roll with Loyola Chicago, right? To win
well, I understand, Sean, you're going to roll with Loyola Chicago because your guy Colburn and the rest of the Illinois team lost, too. And they were a one seed. So there you go. Okay.
Oh, huge devastating blow.
Huge. But, huge. Good luck with Andy Dalton. He can play, buddy.
Please don't bring up Andy Dalton, all right? Please. That's not. I'm not ready for that discussion yet. But, no, quick question, guys. With U of H playing Syracuse, I was wondering, who do you guys think is the best coach-son duo in sports history? I'll show up and listen.
In sports history? Wasn't Ken Griffey Sr. a coach for a while after he played? Does that count? Because I always say, Bobby Bonds, also a great player, ended up being a coach as well after he got done playing with Barry Bonds. Whenever we have these discussions, those are always my two go-tos as the best father-son. Because Michael Jordan, his sons, one played at Illinois, one played at, I think, Central Florida, but neither one of them came close to him and didn't play in the pros. And there are other examples. I always go to the Bonds family and the Griffey family.
That beats me. I mean, I can't think of another coach son.
Oh, George Karl's son, Kobe Karl.
Okay.
Played, I want to say, at Gonzaga in college, but he did play a little bit in the NBA. So George Karl's son did play in the NBA.
But the father, it has to be a situation where the father was a coach and not a player.
See, that's what I don't know.
What about the Currys? I mean,
was Dell ever a coach?
That's my question. Is that the condition?
Well, he said it has to what coach player. So I guess you could be an ex-player, but that you ended up being a coach. Because George Karl was a player.
Right.
And then became a coach.
Right? Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So I mean, off the top of my head, you guys can feel free to chime in. I can't think of any other ones.
So
there's that.
The Rivers,
Doc Rivers, the Rivers. That's a good Austin. One. Yeah. That's not bad. But, okay. All right. So we got all that out of the
way. All right.
Well, I guess, Sean, you want to get to the Deshaun stuff again? I hate we have to revisit it every day, but
yeah, we do, and we can probably open it up with we don't have that much time in this segment. It's up to officially 14 lawsuits, unless there's another update that attorney Tony Busby has given us. I haven't seen any. I think there's officially, in terms of the number officially filed in civil lawsuits, it's officially 14. Sarah Barshop, who's a friend of the show, did a little piece on ESPN.com. We'll uncover some of the details. If you probably know some of it, it's a crazy situation because if Deshaun Watson is not guilty of any of this, you're talking about a master scheme to make him look bad and just a bunch of really, really bad people. But if he is guilty, now you're talking about a serious issue, and it's surprising to me that it's not in criminal status. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's so hard to tell. I feel like Busby's been pretty transparent about the fact that this is about women empowerment, I guess, and it's not about a criminal investigation. Let's see if he remains true to that. But when you listen to some of the details, especially the one that Sarah Barshaw pointed out, she basically recapped all the filed lawsuits. It sounds pretty disturbing to me.
And like we said, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't need 13 of these things to all come to fruition. You don't need 22 of them to come to fruition. Nope. You get one, and especially if you get multiples, you're in big trouble. And so it's a long road ahead and a very big mountain to climb. And when all the facts are in, let the dust settle and let the court and take its due process, and then we'll figure it out from there. I think there's also a reason why, for the time being, Deshaun Watson's camp and Rusty Harden are being very quiet.
There's a reason for it, I feel like. 100%. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, okay. We got 1 hour in the books. We got 2 hours still to go. Lots more to get to. Lots more of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.